Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Top Tens podcast. I'm your host, Simon Whistler. In this podcast, what we do is we have top 10 lists. These are the audio versions of our videos that were originally published on YouTube. If you enjoy this show, please do consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you want to say hi to me on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, all of that stuff. I am at Simon Whistler, one word. Come and say hi to me. Let me know how you like this show. And let's get into it.
Hello, I'm Simon Whistler. You're watching Top 10's Net, and in the video today, we're looking at the top 10 worst aspects of the American justice system. The United States has a constitution that protects its citizens from abuse in the criminal justice system. The right to a trial, to fair treatment by law enforcement, are enshrined. More importantly, the Eighth Amendment also protects those convicted from cruel and unusual punishment. Despite all of this, the American penal system is broken in many ways. In the video today, we're looking at the top 10 human rights crimes that are happening right now as a result of American justice. Number 10. Three Strikes Laws. The Three Strikes Laws became popular in the mid-90s, heralded as a way to be tough on crime. The idea was to remove repeat offenders of serious crimes from society. Three Strikes Laws mandate minimum punishments of usually 25 years for a third serious offense. The first example of a Three Strikes Law actually came from Texas in the 1980s, but they were introduced at their strongest and most infamous in California in 1994. There are similar laws in 26 states. Many examples of convictions under the law have caused them to be considered disproportionate, if not outright cruel. Stories include people being given 25 years to life for stealing a pair of socks or some baby shoes. Two life sentences involve the theft of pizza, one of a single slice, though this was overturned after 5 years due to public outrage. A legal team from Stanford began challenging many of these rulings one by one, often using what they term the "you've got to be kidding me" defense. There are stories of judges and prosecutors writing to those convicted, apologizing about the excessive nature of the sentences. Campaigners were able to have the laws amended in California at the end of 2012, allowing prisoners with minor, nonviolent convictions to appeal their sentences. Whilst many have been freed since these rule changes, there are still fights to release others that have served lengthy sentences for minor crimes. Number 9. Over-incarceration. You might have heard that the US has just 5% of the world's population, but 25% of its prison population. The prison population increased by 700% between 1970 and 2005, compared to a 44% increase in population as a whole. Recently, California's prison system was operating at 150% capacity, with prisoners placed in incredibly small holds. Prison overcrowding has been linked to problems with psychological health and increased prisoner violence. It also causes obvious issues for the staff. The problem doesn't look to be going away anytime soon either. Federal prisons ran at 139% capacity towards the end of 2011, and this is set to increase by 145% by 2018, according to a report by the Bureau of Prisons. Number 8. High recidivism. Recidivism, or reoffending, is a big issue in the United States. A study in 2006 by the Bipartisan Commission on Safety and Abuse in America's Prisons found that 52% of former prisoners were reconvicted. Prison is popularly seen as a means of punishment and isolation from the rest of society. Unfortunately, when people get out of prison, they're back in the same position that led them to commit a crime, but with even less chance of getting a job and resuming their life. The reason for this is, of course, because no one wants to hire a felon. In recent years, programs focused on greater rehabilitation have proven a success in several states. Internationally, the lowest recidivism rate can be found in Norway. There, the justice system is much more focused on preparing people to re-enter society as useful and productive individuals, rather than punishing them for their misdeeds. Whilst many might be uncomfortable with being soft on criminals, Norway's murder rate is an eighth of that in the United States. The choice to be made is between an extremely thorough punishment or improvement to society as a whole. Both don't work together. Number 7. Lack of compassionate release in federal prisons. Prison is not set up to care for people with serious or terminal illnesses. Keeping people locked up after a stroke or in the late stages of cancer can cause suffering that may be considered inhumane or excessive. That is the reason for compassionate release, and it is very much in the spirit of the Eighth Amendment, which forbids cruel and unusual punishment. Yet the compassionate release system in the US, particularly in federal prisons, is shockingly poor. An April 2013 review by the Department of Justice found that the Bureau of Prisons' compassionate release program was poorly managed and inconsistent. They also concluded that a better system would save money due to the high cost of caring for seriously ill inmates. Grounds for release can vary from prison to prison. Some will release a prisoner with 6 months to live, while some grant freedom to someone with a year left. Worse, prisoners cannot challenge the BOP's decision in courts, and compassionate release is rarely granted. Many die simply while waiting for a decision to be made. Number 6. Placing children in solitary confinement. Solitary confinement is known to present the risk of mental illness, including depression, anxiety, and even psychosis. This risk is particularly pronounced in children. The American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry has called for a ban on solitary confinement of children in correctional facilities. They also call for any child that's been confined alone for 24 hours or more to be evaluated by a mental health practitioner. Human Rights Watch reports that children as young as 13 have been confined for over 22 hours per day. In their report, they quote a youth from Florida subjected to the treatment. "The only thing left to do is go crazy, just sit and talk to the walls." This problem is particularly bad for the 90,000 youngsters held in adult prisons that are often kept apart for their own protection. Ironically, the majority of youth suicides in prison takes place amongst those kept in solitary confinement. Number 5. Prison healthcare. Prisoners have significantly more risk of health problems than the general population. Infectious disease can spread in the confined environment of a jail. Addiction and mental illness are also obvious risks. Other, more surprising statistics show that prisoners are 55% more prone to develop diabetes and 90% more likely to have a heart attack than those on the outside. The right to healthcare in prison is protected by the Eighth Amendment, and it's big business. Illinois recently signed a $1.4 billion contract with Wexford Health Sources to provide healthcare for 10 years, despite never auditing them. Providing adequate healthcare to prisoners is not just important for them, but for the wider community. Proper care in prison reduces the burden on society when prisoners are released, and reduces the risk of disease being spread on the outside. Despite this, the number of prisoners with health complaints that don't have access to medical care is very high. One study found that 14% of federal prisoners and a fifth of state prisoners hadn't seen a healthcare provider in spite of persistent issues. Further, thousands of prisoners die in custody every year. Many of these deaths are preventable, caused by undiagnosed and untreated problems. Number 4. Sentencing children to life in prison. The United States is the only country in the world that sentences children to life in prison without parole, sometimes when they're as young as 11 years old. Often these sentences are automatic, and the circumstances of the child aren't taken into account. Until 2005, it was even considered constitutional to execute young criminals, and 365 people under the age of 18 have been executed in US history. Today, almost 3,000 people are serving life sentences for crimes that they committed as youths, effectively fated to die in prison. Many groups have called for an end to these sentences, pointing out that children aren't emotionally and physically mature enough to be held culpable in the same way as an adult. Amnesty International describes this policy as a violation of international law. Number 3. Prison rape. Prison rape is almost a cliché and normalized in popular culture, but the statistics paint a pretty horrifying picture. Whether in prison or not, rape is rape, and it's a horrific crime. Estimates of the number of prisoners that have been sexually victimized by fellow inmates or staff puts figures as high as 1 in 10. In sheer numbers, that's over 200,000 people that have been the victims of sexual assault in prison. Men and women are both at risk of assault. Bisexual and gay inmates, male and female, are at the highest risk of being raped. In thousands of cases, the perpetrator is a member of the prison staff. In one case in Alabama, a guard who impregnated an inmate received 6 months for criminal sexual misconduct, but wasn't charged with rape. Lawyers for the women in question believe the case wasn't investigated properly. Number 2. Placing children on sex offender registers. The Human Rights Watch recently published a report that highlights the problem of children being placed on sex offender registers. The intention of such registers, to protect children from predatory pedophiles, is good. Unfortunately, the laws behind these have proved susceptible to misuse and ineffectiveness. Some of the crimes described in the report for which children were forced to register include a 13-year-old girl convicted for willingly having sex with her 12-year-old boyfriend and becoming pregnant. The boyfriend was also convicted and registered as a sex offender. Luckily, this was later overturned by a higher court, which pointed out that the law was not intended to apply to such cases. Meanwhile, a 15-year-old girl was convicted of distributing child pornography for posting nude photographs of herself online. She was tried as an adult and required to register as a sex offender for life, despite the fact that she was the sole child victim of her crime. Individual injustices might almost be forgivable where a law serves a greater good, such as protecting children, but these laws often serve only to stigmatize and victimize youngsters for making decisions or performing actions which, in many cases, they are too young to understand. The HRW notes, several studies, including one study of a cohort that included 77% youth convicted of violent sex offenses, have found that recidivism rates for youth sex are so low that they do not differ significantly from the sex crime rates found among many other and much larger groups of children, or even the general public. In general, the picture painted is of a system that drains police and court resources, ruins the lives of children and their families indefinitely, fails those it aims to protect, and serves as a carriage for significant injustices. Number 1. The death penalty. The United States is one of only 21 countries to use the death penalty. There is a growing international trend towards abolition of execution. For example, only one country in Europe, Belarus, still has the death penalty on its books. This is because there's no evidence that the death penalty works as a deterrent any more than any other type of sentence. Murder rates are lower in states without the death penalty, and have remained consistently so for over two decades. One of the biggest arguments against the death penalty is the fact that innocent people are sometimes convicted to die. Some of them are released, but humans are fallible, and there are undoubtedly innocent people that have died at the hands of the state. A bill in Florida actually seeks to speed up the execution process, despite the fact that had it been in place previously, people would now be dead that were released in light of new evidence. Groups such as Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch have called on the US to abolish the death penalty altogether. If the United States wishes to consider itself a humane and dignified country, then it surely must.
So I really hope you enjoyed the audio version of one of our YouTube videos. If you did, please do consider heading over to wherever you get your podcasts and leaving us a review. It'd be greatly appreciated. You can also say hi to me on social media at Simon Whistler. Check out our YouTube channel on YouTube. Just search Top Tens, T-O-P-T-E-N-Z. And I'll see you next time.